This is a podcast from the U.S. Department of the Interior.
I want to now introduce our keynote speaker. I had the privilege of meeting Secretary Kempthorne before he was sworn in, and there was no question that this is a man who puts law enforcement and security and emergency preparedness, and particularly the safety of officers and employees, as the highest priority of all the many priorities in this department. On the very first day after Secretary was sworn in, I believe we spent about 3 hours that day with the U.S. Park Police. He wanted to get a firsthand look at our law enforcement services here in Washington, D.C., and we did that that very first day, and I have to say I don't think a couple of weeks have gone by in his tenure that he hasn't focused on law enforcement issues, and particularly those issues that rest on safety and keeping our folks safe in their jobs. And you'll hear a little bit about that in his remarks. So it's an honor and a privilege to introduce to you Secretary Dirk Kempthorne.
Let me thank Larry Parkinson both for his introduction but his service and commitment to law enforcement here within the Department of the Interior. It's very impressive to look out and to see Yates Auditorium filled. We gather today, as we do each year at this time, to honor the memory of the law enforcement officers of the Department of the Interior who've given their lives in the line of duty. The fact that you have many of your colleagues, your fellow workers from the respective bureaus and hallways is a tribute to our law enforcement officers. It's an opportunity for we citizens to thank you men and women who protect the rules and laws of this land. This morning, I had the opportunity to go to Reagan National Airport. Starting at 6 a.m. this morning until 11 p.m. tonight, there will be at any given time anywhere from 100 to 150 police officers, members of the Honor Guard, motor officers, officers that represent entities within this department. Because today you have the families of fallen officers who are now coming in for the memorial. Those who died in the line of duty during this past year, from throughout the jurisdictions of the United States. Think for just a moment about how many family members that might be. It's 2,100. Very large number. They come here to pay tribute to their fallen loved one, and they're dealing with their grief and with their sacrifice. But you can imagine when they come off that airplane to have the law enforcement family waiting for them. What a huge difference that makes. They're greeted and then they're escorted by a color guard. All of their bags are retrieved. They don't have to worry about anything. And then they're taken to a van or a bus. And then with motorcycle escorts, they're taken to their hotel. They are surrounded by this family of law enforcement. Very appropriate. And as I said to the officers today, it is not a perfect world. We wish it were. But sometimes bad things happen to good people. Law enforcement officers are good people, and they represent what is good in our society. And still, bad things can happen to them. But for these family members to then arrive and to see that once again, the symbol of what is good in humanity embrace them and take care of them while they're here is truly significant. Very appropriate, very moving. There are few duties that a Secretary of the Interior has that are more filled with meaning and that are more sacred, that are marked by a greater spirit of thanksgiving and reverence than this annual ceremony. I'm deeply moved to help lay a wreath in remembrance of these brave men and women. To date, 96 law enforcement officers have fallen in the line of duty in the history of the Department of the Interior and its bureaus, and we honor their memory. I'm thankful to report that none of our 4,000 sworn law enforcement officers lost his or her life this past year. Any year we do not suffer a loss is a notable achievement that is a testimony to the pride and to the professionalism and the dedication of our officers. The work that you do is difficult and dangerous. These officers are often alone in remote areas, far from backup, far from help. On behalf of all Americans, I thank all of our officers for placing themselves in harm's way, that we might be kept safe and that our lands and facilities might be secure, and that our families might be secure. The wreath that we see before us, representing the different entities within the department, represent those who have gone before us during the 159-year history of this department. You protect where we live and work in an era when the threats around us are often hidden. You work with tribal law enforcement to protect American Indian communities. You enforce our laws on our public lands, our refuges, our parks, our mountains, and our open spaces and ranges. You protect our borders. It's significant that the U.S. Border Patrol members are here with us today. You perform the full range of police work, from solving homicides to shutting down drug dealers. You keep our workplaces safe. You often go beyond the call of duty. You serve with distinction. You help protect our president. We applaud you for this. The American people, however, owe our officers more than simply our appreciation. We owe them our support, support which is in evidence today by how many people are here in the auditorium. We owe them the best equipment possible. We owe them the best training possible. Last year, I was disappointed to receive a report from the Inspector General showing that an unacceptable number of U.S. Park police officers were not current in weapons training. Furthermore, the inspector found that officers were equipped with expired ballistic vests that should have been replaced. This is unacceptable. It is not right for our officers. We cannot and we must not send any officer out on duty who lacks necessary training or equipment. That's what we must provide. I'm pleased to report that we've taken immediate action to rectify this situation. For example, every U.S. Park police officer is now current in firearms qualifications, with the exception of those few who are on medical leave, military leave, or otherwise unavailable. We've evaluated all law enforcement entities within the department to ensure that all have the proper training and equipment. We've obtained new ballistic vests for more than 440 of our officers, and soon every officer will be equipped with a new vest, a current vest. And that is the standard that we will support and adhere to with all law enforcement entities within this department. Finally, we're working to bolster the force by hiring new officers. In the United States Park Police, for example, we project our force level will rise to 596 officers by the end of this fiscal year, 630 by the end of fiscal year 2009, and 639 by the end of fiscal year 2010. We're hiring 200 additional officers in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We're looking at all of the entities and identifying where there are openings and vacancies and the fact that we want them filled. I give you my commitment as Secretary of the Interior that we'll continue to look for ways that we can better support our law enforcement officers to keep you safe and to keep the public safe. I referenced the U.S. Park Police established in 1791 because of that recent Inspector General report. We have good people like Lyle Laverty and Mary Bomar, Dan Wink, David Verhey, Brian Wademan, others who worked on that particular issue. Sal Laurel, I thank you for your accepting the request to step in and to help us. Whether it is the U.S. Park Service Police, any entity that will be recognized in a moment within this department. We have good people that are committed to doing the right thing. Larry Parkinson, Jim Kaysen, who worked on that issue. So we'll do what is necessary. Because I believe that the values of America are exemplified by law enforcement officers. When I ask young children, what do you want to be when you grow up? Still in the top two or three category, if not number one, they want to be a police officer. You're the heroes to a lot of children and to a lot of us. Now let us turn to the solemn task of honoring those who have given their lives, whose names are engraved on the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. By the acknowledgement of these wreaths in their memory. I will also tell you that as a United States Senator, I carried the first resolution designating the National Memorial Peace Officers Day. And I carried it each year for 5 years, because once a resolution has been carried successfully for 5 years in a row, it then is in place in perpetuity. To the men and women who carry the badge, both uniformed and non-uniformed divisions, you represent true professionals. We surround you with our good thoughts, we surround you with our prayers, and we surround you with the prayers and thoughts of your family members who every day wish you safety. And that you come home safely. To those who have gone before us, we simply say sincerely that we'll never forget the service that you've rendered to our country. We will never forget your courage and your dedication to duty. We'll never forget the sacrifice that you have made. And we must not forget the sacrifice that the family members have made. Those who may be here with us today, who have lost a loved one in the past, or the some 2,100 family members that will arrive in Washington, D.C., because their loved one will no longer come through the door, but becomes part of eternity. But we're a better place for it, because we are a good place. And the only way to continue to adhere and make it a good place is to thank and support these good men and women and to encourage others to follow them in the line of duty. God bless you all.